Flare riding is one of the most exotic and exhilarating sports in existence, and those who can dare and afford to do it are amongst the most lionized men in the galaxy. It is also, of course, stupefyingly dangerous. Those who don't die riding invariably die of sexual exhaustion at one of the Daedalus Club's après-flare parties. Ford and Zaphod looked and passed on. "And this baby," said Ford, "the tangerine star buggy with the black sunbusters." Again, the star buggy was a small ship, a totally misnamed one, in fact, because the one thing it couldn't manage was interstellar distances. Basically, it was a sporty planet hopper dolled up to look like something it wasn't. Nice lines, though. They passed on. The next one was a big one, and 30 yards long. A coach-built limo ship, and obviously designed with one aim in mind, that of making the beholder sick with envy. The paintwork and accessory detail clearly said, "Not only am I rich enough to afford this ship, I am also rich enough not to take it seriously." It was wonderfully hideous.
"Just look at it," said Zaphod. "Multi-cluster quark drive, Perspulex running boards, gotta be a Laszlo Lyricon custom job."
He examined every inch.
"Yes," he said. "Look, the infra-pink lizard emblem on the neutrino cowling. Laszlo's trademark. The man has no shame."
"I was passed by one of these mothers once, out by the Axel Nebula," said Ford. "I was going flat out, and this thing just strolled past me. Star drive hardly ticking over. Just incredible." Zaphod whistled appreciatively. 10 seconds later," said Ford, "it smashed straight into the third moon of Jaglan Beta."
"Yeah, right?"
"Amazing looking ship, though. Looks like a fish, moves like a fish, steers like a cow." Ford looked round the other side.
"Hey, come see," he called out. "There's a big mural painted on this side. A bursting sun, disaster area's trademark. This must be Hot Black's ship. Oh, lucky old bugger. They do this terrible song, you know, which ends with a stunt ship crashing into the sun. It's meant to be an amazing spectacle. Expensive in stunt ships, though."
Zaphod's attention, however, was elsewhere. His attention was riveted on the ship standing next to Hot Black Desiato's limo. His mouths hung open.
"That," he said, "that is really bad for the eyes."
Ford looked. He too stood astonished. It was a ship of classic, simple design, like a flattened salmon, 20 yards long, very clean, very sleek. There was just one remarkable thing about it.
"It's so black," said Ford Prefect. "You can hardly make out its shape. Light just seems to fall into it."
Zaphod said nothing. He had simply fallen in love. The blackness of it was so extreme that it was almost impossible to tell how close you were standing to it.
"Your eyes just slide off it," said Ford in wonder.
It was an emotional moment. He bit his lip. Zaphod moved forward to it slowly, like a man possessed, or more accurately, like a man who wanted to possess. His hand reached out to stroke it. His hand stopped. His hand reached out to stroke it again. His hand stopped again.
"Come and feel this surface," he said in a hushed voice.
Ford put his hand out to feel it. His hand stopped.
You can't," he said. "See," said Zaphod. "It's just totally frictionless. This must be one mother of a mover."
He turned to look at Ford seriously. At least one of his heads did. The other stayed gazing in awe at the ship.
"What do you reckon, Ford?" he said.
"You mean, Ford looked over his shoulder. "You mean stroll off with it? You think we should?"
"No,
nor do I."
"But we're going to, aren't we?" "How can we not?"
They gazed a little longer, till Zaphod suddenly pulled himself together.
"We better shift soon," he said. "In a moment or so, the universe will have ended, and all the captain creeps will be pouring down here to find their Borgmobiles."
"Zaphod," said Ford.
"Yeah." "How do we do it?"
"Simple," said Zaphod. He turned.
"Marvin," he called.
Slowly, laboriously and with a million little clanking and creaking noises that he had learned to simulate, Marvin turned round to answer the summons.
"Come on over here," said Zaphod. "We've got a job for you."
Marvin trudged towards them. "I won't enjoy it," he said.
"Yes, you will," enthused Zaphod. "There's a whole new life stretching out ahead of you."
"Oh, not another one," groaned Marvin.
"Will you shut up and listen?" hissed Zaphod. "This time there's going to be excitement and adventure and really wild things."
"Sounds awful," Marvin said.
"Marvin, all I am trying to ask you..."
"I suppose you want me to open this spaceship for you."
"What? Yes. Yeah, that's right," said Zaphod jumpily.
He was keeping at least three eyes on the entrance. Time was short. "Well, I wish you'd just tell me rather than try to engage my enthusiasm," said Marvin, "because I haven't got one." He walked on up to the ship, touched it, and a hatchway swung open. Ford and Zaphod stared at the opening. "Don't mention it," said Marvin. "Oh, you didn't." He trudged away again. Arthur and Trillian clustered round.
"What's happening?" asked Arthur.
"Look at this," said Ford. "Look at the interior of this ship." "Weirder and weirder," breathed Zaphod.
"It's black," said Ford.
"Everything in it is just totally black."